Dearest Jimmy, no words can ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. We begin to understand what love is about because of Christ first loving us. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful that you loved us before we even knew you. It's through your great love that we have come into this wonderful relationship with you. As the Christian church and Christian people, we want to be known for extending grace and the wealth of our love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Ernie's going to have it up there for me. He's fast. I'm going to read it to you. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into our world so we might live through him. In this, his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. In this letter, John continues to point to things that really matter to the Christians in Asia Minor. They're experiencing discouragement from inside and outside the Christian community. What is going to give them the strength to continue doing what they know is right? John believes that their relationship with God and each other is what's going to make all the difference in the world. 1 John 4, 7 to 8, it suggests that in our love for others, we begin to understand what God's nature is like. Our passage starts in 1 John 4, 7 with these words, beloved, or dear friends. Again, John is voicing his commitment of a relationship to these young Christians. He says, let us love one another because love is from God. Our natural response in life is to not be nice. Have you ever noticed that? It's to be reactive, proud, untrusting, cynical. These churches were experiencing great pressure, both inwardly and outwardly. Pressure often causes us to respond in ways that are not in proportion to the event. When Carrie was pregnant with Josiah, we had a two-door Toyota SR5. We decided to sell our sporty Corolla and bought a four-door Subaru Justy. Later, one of our friends remarked on the humor side, how can you tell the Howers are stressed? Instead of buying a new baby seat for their car, they bought a new car to fit their baby seat. And they were not far off the mark. So the circumstances for these Christians in Asia Minor is that they're feeling intense pressure. It'd be easy for them to snap or respond irrationally. But the apostle says that they should love each other. And the reason they should is because of God's love. As Tina Turner sung, what's love got to do with it, got to do with it, got to do with it? Love has everything to do with it. Concerning our faith in Jesus and love for others. When things are the toughest in life, we don't just learn about others. We learn about what God is like, but we also learn a lot about ourselves. As we invite the Holy Spirit to infiltrate every part of our lives, things begin to change. He calls us to not look only to ourselves, but to love others, even to prefer others over our own interests. Now that is radical thinking that can only come from the heart of God. Verse 7 continues by saying, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. To respond toward one another in love, when we're in the midst of difficulty is to act godlike in our character. In God's plan to restore our relationship with him, he did not hold anything back, but he sent his son Jesus Christ to purchase from a life of heartache, sin, and eternal death. And as a result, the Bible says the Spirit of God now lives or dwells within us as we give ourselves complete to him as one of the fruit or the end products of God being with us. He says that we'll love. Verse 8 contrasts this by saying, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. As these Christians love each other in conflict and in difficulty, it'd be obvious that God was truly working in their lives. These two verses, 7 and 8, are affirming that God is loving in all that he does. It is within the fabric of his character. But the text is not saying that love is God. To do a loving act is not God, although all loving acts are initiated because of God's great love for us. To be in an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus will produce loving people even in the most difficult situations. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote this: do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act like you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you're behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking them more. If you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less. 1 John 4, 9-12 reminded that sacrifice is an integral part of our love for God and one another. 1 John 4:9 says, God's love was revealed among us this way. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. Or as the New Living says it, that we might have eternal life through him. The type of love that John is talking about here is not simply puppy love or erotic love, but the climax is sacrificial love. What is the most valuable thing that you have in this life outside of your relationship with God? Some would say children, spouse, parent, friend, possessions, grandchildren, whatever it may be for you. Would you be willing to give it up if it benefited another person? In 1 John 4:10 it says, in this is love. Or as the New Living says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God unveiled his heart of love to the world, his devotion and commitment to us by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross. The unconditional love of the Father was bathed in the ultimate sacrifice, the death of his own son. To identify ourselves as Christians or Christ followers is to follow Christ's example to love others out of sacrificial love. 1 John 4:11, it continues on the theme by saying, beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. In Luke 8, Jesus says to Simon, a religious leader, about a sinful woman who is in his house, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. The person who thinks that they have been only need a little forgiveness only have a little bit of love. We all need a lot of forgiveness. If we choose not to acknowledge how profoundly we need God's love, it is likely we will not extend the same gracious love to others. The text ends in 1 John 4:12 saying, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. As we embrace God in his fullness and experience his love, it changes us both on the inside and the outside. This encounter with God and his love for us can even be more tangible than what we pick up with our physical senses. And even if we have not seen Christ in physical form, His love can be made complete in us. How this depth of love is revealed or observed by others is through our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. George Crane is a pastor. He does a lot of counseling. One day a lady came to see him about her marriage. She was so angry. She said, "I hate him. I need to get rid of him. But before I get rid of him, I need to make sure he hurts as bad as I hurt." Crane had a fantastic, it was an ingenious plan. He said, this is what he told her. "Go home and act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much it means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be kind, considerate, generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, enjoy him. Make him believe you love him. After you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Then tell him you're going to divorce him. That'll really hurt him." With revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, "Beautiful, beautiful! Will he ever be surprised?" And so she did it with great enthusiasm. Acting as if for 2 months she loved him with kindness and listening and giving and reinforcing and sharing. When she didn't return, Crane called her and said, "Are you ready to go through the divorce now?" And she exclaimed, "Never! I discovered I really love him." Her actions had changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love is established not so much by fervent promise as often repeated deeds. To love others like Christ loves us means that at some point in time, you will need to sacrifice on behalf of others. Have you noticed that our love toward others is often a choice? If we went by our feelings, we'd probably fall in love and out of love many times each day. We can fall in love with someone and then fall out of love with someone, especially with all the distractions in life, which also means we can fall back in love again if we're intentional. And this can happen even in our relationship with God. How do we handle the pressure and the deep disappointments in life? What happens when people wrong us or hurt us, and the worst of all, they're part of the Christian community? It would be so easy to be offended when someone has stepped on our toes physically or emotionally. The two obvious responses: strike out and punish the person who has hurt us so they'll never try that again. Or secondly, to hold the hurt inside. Both of the solutions lead to disastrous outcomes. This last week I was talking to somebody and they said, "I have been hurt so bad. I am so cut inside. I don't know what to do." And so I said, "Can I pray?" And I prayed for the healing oil of Jesus. I don't know how you fix this. To respond in meanness or cruelty to another person only encourages more ungracious acts. It escalates the whole thing. Throughout the book of 1 John, the author asks us over and over, how can we say we love God when we hate our brother and sister? When we choose the second option, holding on to the hurt, if not treated, it'll turn into a wound of poison. And we can become like the very one that we despise. In the movie Ben-Hur, the main actor becomes bitter because of unjust acts committed against him. In the end, he's full of anger and hatred, as much as the one who inflicted the wound initially. In this passage in 1 John, it suggests there's a third option, and it's to let the love of God flow through us so we can respond to others in grace, the same kind of grace that Christ has extended to us. Is everything that happens in this life fair? Is justice always going to be measured out? Every wrong righted? For those who have lived long enough to experience the harshness of life, the answer is no. Jesus sacrificed on our behalf so we could experience transforming, life-giving Spirit of Christ within us. And now he calls us to do the same thing by reaching out in love. Each of us have had lots of practice with the first two options, retaliating and holding on, the punishing of our enemy, the protecting of our hearts, instead of forgiving. Today, the Christ that lives within us is calling us to do it his way, and that is to love the person no matter how they respond to us. In practical terms, forgiving, extending grace, and loving them the way that God loves them. Does anyone come to mind this morning that you need to be loving this way? Let's pray. Jesus, we're in a broken world where it's so easy to be hurt and to hurt others. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit's work in our lives and our neighbors. Give us the strength to love others the way that you love us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Before I call, before I ever cry.
Couple announcements. If you want prayer today, there will be somebody at the back that will pray with you. One of the things we mentioned was our board outside where there's a piece of paper that people have taken them and bought supplies for Summer Jam, and we just want to say thank you for all that, all the people that do that. Do you know that many counselors say that 90% of their practice would be irrelevant if people forgave? I'm going to tell you something about my mother-in-law. Carrie's not here, right? She's in the nursery. I have a good friend that I went to seminary with that ended up working internationally in Africa with the Fulani people, their unreached group, their tribal group. And so she had worked there many years, and right now she's back in B.C. I won't tell you where, but where her family is. So a couple years ago, I ran into her, and she said, "Lewis, I want to tell you a story." So she knows my mother-in-law really well, has been in Revelstoke many times. And she said, "I want to tell you a story." She said, "There's a lady in my church who, her story is almost identical to Bee's, my mother-in-law. Both of them had lost their husbands and had went through just enormous turmoil and uprooting." And she said, "The lady in my church is so bitter. You don't want to talk to her. She is not a representation of Christ." And she goes, "But when I go to Revelstoke and hang out with B, we laugh and we laugh and we laugh." And Lisa said to me, "Lewis, when I get B's age, I want to be like B." And I said to her, "I do too." As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing this, that the love of God can cover all sin. It can cover all the wrongs. It can cover all the hurts. It can cover all the injustices. Only in Him can this be found. Amen.
Amen. Please stand with us while we close. I just wanted to touch on, we chose that song Fierce because I feel like sometimes when we read those love passages in John, like, we can see like heart emojis and the warm fuzzies, and it's not that. Like, love, real love and God's love, it's so powerfully active that I think it's important to remember that there's so much strength in love, and not, it's not just like nice feels, right? All right, let's close this out.